Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the closer we get to the July 20th date, the farther away an agreement appears to be. Well, that is the way talks between Iran and the P5 plus one is starting to appear. Now, some of the foreign ministers are holding talks in Vienna to see if they can meet that deadline. And that is the question at hand. Will Iran and the P5 plus one reach a permanent agreement by next Sunday? Stay with us as we take a look at that question and others on this, the debate.
7 days before the expiration of the interim deal between Iran and the five permanent members of the UN Security Council past Germany, there are mixed reactions from the negotiating sides on the outcome and the possible need for the extension of the talks.
The dominant tendency is that if we don't reach a result at the end of the first 6 months of the year, there won't be a tendency to extend that period.
Posting on his Twitter page, Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif has urged the other side to engage in sincere efforts aimed at striking an agreement in the remaining time. Earlier, Iranian Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi had said that some 60% of the text of the comprehensive deal has been completed, but there are major differences, mostly on the issue of uranium enrichment. Meanwhile, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has spoken of, quote, some very significant gaps in the negotiations ahead of joining his counterparts in the Vienna talks.
And obviously we have some very significant gaps still, so we need to see if we can make some progress.
British Foreign Secretary William Hague also pointed to the major gaps between Iran's expectations and the P5 plus one's demands. He said a quick breakthrough in the negotiations is unlikely, but we should wait and see what scope there is for progress before July the 20th deadline. Some analysts say talking of major differences during the final days of the negotiations was expected, as the U.S. will face criticism from the Israeli lobby if any kind of positive resolution on Iran's nuclear program is reached.
For the Americans and for Obama particularly, he's going to be attacked by the neocons and the Israeli lobby for any kind of resolution, positive resolution of the talks that he gave the store away.
Tehran says it could sit at the negotiations if the other side continues with putting forth excessive demands to further delay striking the accord. Tehran has always reiterated its constructive position regarding nuclear negotiations. Iranian officials insist Tehran will never accept unreasonable requests by P5 plus one. Nearly 8 months after Iran's landmark nuclear deal with the P5 plus one, time has come for a meaningful conclusion to the Western countries' promises.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of London, Mr. Richard Millett, journalist and political commentator. Welcome. And in Tehran, political commentator, Mr. Sayed Mostafa Khoshchesh. Welcome to the program. Well, let's start it off with London and Mr. Millett. In your perspective, what do you think it will take for a final agreement to be reached?
Well, because of the concerns about the program, Iran has to give obviously a lot more than it's wanting to. I think only recently the Supreme Leader Ayatollah Khamenei said that they actually want thousands more centrifuges that they have at the moment, more than the 10,000 at the moment, whereas the P5 plus one are looking for centrifuges in the low thousands. So the gap is unbridgeable, and if that comes right from the top, from Ayatollah Khamenei, then obviously there is a major problem. Plus the idea about inspections, the IAEA should really have open inspections, so if there is concerns about Iranian breakout towards a possible nuclear bomb, then this can be stopped immediately. But Iran looks very doubtful whether they're going to open up totally to IAEA inspections, even in the short term, with the possibility of those being slowly reduced as time goes on. It just looks an impossible task. There'll be another extension, there'll be more talks. At the end of the day, it looks like Iran really could well want to drag things out, and the only people who are going to suffer are the Iranian people, because at the end of the day, there's billions of pounds worth of oil that Iran could be selling that would improve the economy.
Okay, your take, Mr. Khoshchesh, on comments coming out of London.
Well, hello, and thank you very much for inviting me to the program. Actually, the ball is in the West's court. It has always been there, especially ever since Iran and the P5+1 endorsed the Geneva deal, interim deal, in November. Actually, the United States and the West have never stopped their excessive demands. This is the perception that should change in the West. You know, since the very beginning of this issue, the U.S.-led West always believed that Iran should not have any kind of, I emphasize, any kind of nuclear technology or using its applications, something like nuclear power plants. So first of all, they didn't want Iran to have any kind of access to the nuclear technology and its applications. But little by little, they came to realize that they cannot stop Iran's growth in this field, and they changed their approach a little bit when they realized that they cannot block Iran's access to this kind of technology. Remember, in the early 2002 or 3, they didn't want us to have any centrifuge machines, but now they say they are talking about hundreds. Of course, that's not acceptable to us. But this shows that they have come to realize that they cannot stop Iran's program. The same kind of change should again happen in their perception regarding Iran's access to this technology. Remember that Iran has been under the most man-hours of IAEA inspections, and all its programs have been endorsed so far. And the IAEA has repeatedly stressed that it has not seen any kind of diversion in Iran's civilian nuclear program. Now, the West should show that it's actually looking for what it says. It says, the U.S.-led West says, or it claims at least, that it's looking for ways to make sure of the civilian nature of Iran's nuclear program, but I doubt, and many others doubt about these claims, because if only this is the only problem, the IAEA, which is a UN body, has several times stressed that it has not seen any diversion in Iran's nuclear program. That's number one. Number two, the National Intelligence Estimate, NIE, report, which is a collection of the reports of 16 intelligence bodies in the U.S., in two separate reports in 2000 and, I believe, 7 and 10, two times they stressed that at least since 2003, Iran has never been after an atomic bomb or a military nuclear program. And prior to that, the former IAEA Director General Mohammad al-Baradei, in two separate reports, endorsed that the six major ambiguities and issues that they had with regard to Iran's nuclear activities prior to 2006, they have all been resolved by Iran through the action plan that they had then. Okay. So there is no problem with Iran's nuclear program. And what is West actually is is asking for is beyond the nuclear program of Iran. It's something else. It's a clash of interests that I'll try to explain
later. What about that, Mr. Millett? You touched on, you said about the IAEA and opening it up, and we know that inspections have been taking place regularly. Even certain facilities, cameras are installed, and you heard our guests in Tehran basically saying the many reports that have been put out by the IAEA saying that the program does not show any signs of diversion. So is the problem really that that they believe that Iran wants to make a nuclear bomb, or is it something else? Do you think that the bulk of the problem perhaps could be actually respecting the sovereignty of the Islamic Republic of Iran and even having the right to have this type of technology?
I think obviously the sovereignty of the Islamic Republic of Iran is is fully respected by the UN and by the IAEA. The problem is that Iran hasn't got a good track record. The whole program was discovered about 10 years ago. It was being built up in a clandestine manner. And there have been agreements reached a few years ago when this all took place, this negotiating process. And Iran then failed on its fulfilling its obligations in the agreement. So there are concerns, and even though there might not be any diversions at the moment, the concerns are future. What could happen in the future if